Just to remind you of what inspired all of this, we've been talking about Hebrews 11 and 12, where all of these heroes of the faith, and by heroes we simply mean people who have tried to live their lives by faith, we've been looking at their lives and just trying to discover how we can live by faith. Hebrews 12:1 actually says that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And I personally don't think those witnesses, I don't think it means they're witnesses because they're watching us. I think it says it's their witnesses. They are saying something to us. And they are telling us of God's faithfulness. And so Corrie ten Boom is another great example of that. She went through some really, really hard stuff, but she came out of it with her faith incredibly strong. Traveling the world, over 64 countries, at least 64 countries, I believe she went to, talking about the love of God and how you can't get in a pit so deep that he cannot be there with you and help carry you through that pit. So before we dive into her life, Isaiah 43, just read that very first verse with me. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. So if God himself says that to you, I've called you by name, you are mine, what does that mean for your life? I believe it means some incredible things. And Corrie ten Boom's book is here to tell us about some of them. I'll recommend this book to you again. It is a good one. And of course, the name is The Hiding Place. I think that probably means several things. One reason it's called The Hiding Place is because they actually built a hiding place in their home behind a brick wall where they could hide Jews. But for Corrie and her sister, it also came to mean the idea that God was their hiding place. And they were there in the most desperate of situations, but God was there with them, and he was their hiding place. So anyhow, we're going to look more at her story today. Let's pray together before we dive into that. Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we can read these words. I have called you by name. You are mine. Lord, what a message. Father, as we look into your word today, as we just remember the things that happened in the ten Boom's lives and how you were there for them. God, I pray that you would just inspire us and strengthen us, direct us, prepare us for whatever is to come in our lives, Lord, whatever we may face. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so I'd just like to start with a story. I'm sorry, if you read the book, this might be a little bit repetitive, but it's always good to remember, right? Early on, Corrie talks about her life from the very early on that she can remember. And I think she must have probably been about 5 years old when her dad, Casper, used to take her with him every week on Monday. They would travel down into Amsterdam, and they would run some errands down in town. He was a watchmaker, so he would get parts for the watches, whatever he might need. But the main reason they made the trip was at 12 noon, they were going to be standing in front of the Naval Observatory and watch the hands fall on that giant astronomical clock. And so he'd be standing there ready with his watch in his hand, and the hands would fall at 12 noon. He'd go, okay, 4 seconds fast. They'd head back home, and he would adjust the clocks in his home to the exact time they were supposed to be at. And Corrie loved these trips because of being able to be with her dad and being able to ask him questions, you know, stuff that was bothering her. And she said, I can get answers from dad I couldn't get from anybody else. For example, she had recently, I can't remember where she said she read it or saw it, but she saw something about some man's young face who was not clouded with sex sin. And she was like, what is sex sin? You know, she said, oh, I think that sex has something to do with being a boy or a girl. And sin is stuff we're not supposed to do, you know. And so she didn't know what this was. She asked her mom about it and sisters about it, and she said her mom just turned three different shades of red and wouldn't answer her question. So she's there with her dad, and so she brings it up with him. Dad, what in the world is sex sin? So Casper pauses for a few seconds, and he says, I tell you what, Corey, how about you, would you carry my case for us out to the train? And so she goes over and tries to pick it up. And she's like, Dad, it's way too heavy. And he says, yes, and some knowledge is too heavy for young people. Right now, Corey, you need to let me carry this for you. And there'll come a time in your life when you're stronger and you are able to carry this knowledge. And Corey said, that satisfied me. I didn't have any more worries about it because I knew that Dad was going to carry that for me. And when the time was right, he would tell me what I needed to know. Jumping way forward into Corey's life as she began to go through some extremely difficult things, this was very, very helpful for her because she began to realize that God carries things for us that are too heavy for us to carry. And often that may be knowledge. Maybe there's some questions that I can't answer, but God carries that. And he says there's a time, maybe it'll be later in life, maybe it'll be when we reach heaven, when he will answer some of those questions. But he carries things for us, but it's more than just knowledge. God carries us in life sometimes. And Corey and her sister, Betsy, were able to experience that through the terrible, terrible things that they went through in three different prisons. They were arrested for hiding Jews. Miraculously, the Jews that were in their home, all of them survived. None of them were found. What a miracle, right? But anyhow, they were taken, sent to prison. They spent time in three different prisons. I think maybe only Corey made it out, something like that. Yeah. So the last one was called Ravensbrück. Before we talk some more stories about her life and some of the things that happened at Ravensbrück, I'd just like to read these next two verses. So going back to Isaiah 43, we'll read verse 1 again. It says, but now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So God promises right there to be with his called and his chosen people. They're great verses to memorize. Great verses. When you pass through the water, I'll be with you. The rivers will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. I would highly recommend you memorize them. Going back to Corey's life and what they went through. The book doesn't say exactly, but I'm thinking it's probably as Germany began to lose the war that they were retreating out of these other countries. And so they load up all these prisoners. They were in their second prison in Holland, and they were loaded onto these trains, just like cattle, just squished in there so tight that they were all interlocking as they were seated in there. Hardly anything to eat or drink. Terrible conditions. And this train carries them down into Germany to this place called Ravensbrück. And so as they are entering, they are, you know, just desperate for food and water. As they get there, they see these water spigots sitting on the side of the building. There's just a crowd of them. And so they all rush the spigots, and they're getting some water to drink, and the guards come and chase them away from the spigots. And they kind of herd them all over to this shelter. It's an open shelter. All the sides are open. And they begin to register them in there at the shelter. And after they've done so, they come and they chase them out from under the shelter. And just basically, this is where you're going to be. And so they begin to sit down all around on the ground. And as the day drags on, it becomes apparent this is just where they're going to be. Night begins to fall. And so they've got these thin little blankets, and so they lie down on the ground. And later that night, it begins to rain. And so the rain's coming, and it's turning into mud beneath their bodies. Just a rough, rough time. Corey says in the middle of the night, her sister, Betsy, begins to sing this song. It's called Lead Kindly Light, I believe. I'll just read you a couple of the words. Lead kindly light amid the encircling gloom. Lead thou me on. The night is dark, and I am far from home. Lead thou me on. So Betsy is leading. Of course, as many people join in, begin singing with them. Here's this group of ladies out there in a desperate, desperate situation. And Betsy's leading them to put their faith in God. What an incredible idea. As they go into Ravensbrook, finally 3 days later, they spend 3 days outside in the rain and whatever comes. And as they go into, finally get into a building, they're being checked in. They make them take all of their clothes off. This was one of the most humiliating parts for Corey, one of the most terrifying parts. And she has finally gotten this Bible, and it is just the greatest treasure to her. It has been so much help to her. But they make them take all of their clothes off, go through these showers, put different clothes back on, and then go through this line. Even after all of that, they go through this line where they are personally frisked to make sure they don't have anything with them. And so Corey is praying desperately, God, you've given us this book. Don't let me lose it. Put your angels around me. I think in the movie she said something like, don't let your angels be invisible today. Make them solid so they can't see me. And that's exactly what happened as she entered the prison. The prisoner in front of her was searched. Betsy right behind her was searched. Not a hand touched her. And so they went into this prison with this precious, precious book. I want to read you just a little clip from her book because I believe this shows so clearly how God was with them as they were there in Ravensbrück. Because they begin to read from the Bible. They would have at least once a day, if not more times than that, they would have these where they would read the Bible together, they would talk about it together, they would pray together right there in this German prison camp. The way that happened was also fascinating. When they got there, terrible conditions. They were all packed in still. The place was only supposed to hold like 200. I think maybe there were 700 or however many in there. They're just smooshed in together. They've got about, you know, so much space to sleep in. There's so many of them. And the guards are constantly after them. And Betsy says to Corey, we need to thank God for these things. Corey's like, you know, she said, I knew she was wrong. We shouldn't have to thank God for these things. No, we have to thank God for everything in here. And so Betsy helps Corey do that. And Betsy even thanks God for the fleas and the lice. And of course, she's like, that was wrong. We don't thank God for fleas and lice. And yet later on, one day, Betsy comes to her and she is just triumphant. And she says, do you know why the guards don't come in where we have our Bible studies? Because of the fleas and the lice. And so, what do you say to that, right? So anyhow, they're having these Bible studies every day. I just want to read you just a couple of paragraphs here of what Corey says about this. As the rest of the world grew stranger, one thing became increasingly clear, and that was the reason the two of us were here. Why others should suffer, we were not shown. As for us, from morning until lights out, whenever we were not in ranks for roll call, our Bible was the center of an ever-widening circle of help and hope. Like waifs clustered around a blazing fire, we gathered about it, holding out our hearts to its warmth and light. The blacker the night around us grew, the brighter and truer and more beautiful burned the Word of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I would look about us as Betsy read, watching the light leap from face to face. More than conquerors. It was not a wish. It was a fact. We knew it. We experienced it minute by minute. Poor, hated, hungry. We are more than conquerors. Not we shall be. We are. Life in Ravensbrück took place on two separate levels, mutually impossible. One, the observable external life, grew every day more horrible. The other, the life we lived with God, grew daily better. Truth upon truth, glory upon glory. Sometimes I would slip the Bible from its little sack with hands that shook. So mysterious had it become to me. It was new. It had just been written. I marveled sometimes that the ink was dry. I had believed the Bible always, but reading it now had nothing to do with belief. It was simply a description of the way things were, of hell and heaven, of how men act and how God acts. I had read 1,000 times the story of Jesus' arrest, how soldiers had slapped him, laughed at him, flogged him. Now such happenings had faces and voices. Amazing, the strength that they received there from God in the middle of that camp. Just two more quick stories about their life. Betsy, of course, died in this place. Corey describes having to watch that she ate less and less. She began to starve. She told some amazing stories about how the guard actually let her take her to sick bay and a couple of different things like that. I don't remember. They didn't call it sick bay. Over a period of time, she watched her sister starve. And then they took her and left her at this sick place. And several days later, she died. And so, of course, Corey was grief-stricken with this. She's out walking through the camp. She says, amazingly, no one is stopping her. And she just doesn't know what to do with herself. She's walking all over the place. She ends up at the sick place. She had actually been there once before and saw a lot of dead bodies lying around, which of course terrified her. And she kept being drawn back to that room. She said, I couldn't go in because I knew I couldn't bear to see Betsy in there. And then someone came as she's walking around the compound. Someone comes and actually takes her to that room and says, no, you have to go in. You have to see this. And so Corey's kind of fighting with them. But eventually, she lets this person take her inside. And there's a guard inside who's also wanting her to see something. And so they take Corey over, and she sees Betsy. And she said, but it wasn't the Betsy I was used to seeing recently. This was the Betsy from years ago, back in Harlem, when the wrinkles were not there, and she had the most beautiful smile on her face. And she just knew that it was God showing her how God had cared for her sister, even as she went through death. God had just cared for her, and she said she had the most relief, peaceful, beautiful expression on her face, lying there, that it just carried Corey through the next days. Just another example of how God was with them in that prison. Well, the last thing I'd like to mention to you about it this morning is that Corey said Betsy kept seeing things. As a matter of fact, the last chapter of the book is called The Three Visions. So Betsy kept seeing things. She would say, Corey, By the new year, we're going to be free. We're both going to be out of here. And we have got to tell people. We've got to help these people. So, you know, we've got to I can see this house. She said, I can see this enormous, beautiful house. And she described it to her in great detail. Flowers all over the place. I can't remember. I don't have the description in my head. But, you know, she talked about how the floors were beautiful. They were inlaid with something. There was this center area. Anyhow, she describes this house in pretty great detail. Well, after Corey was released, another whole story. We're not going to have time to talk about that one. But several years later, she's talking about these visions that her sister Betsy had and how they were supposed to have this big house and they were going to welcome people who had been damaged by the war, both prisoners and the prison guards. We're actually going to talk some more about that next week. But they were going to welcome these people into this home and offer them help and healing. And she's sharing this with different groups of people. This lady comes up to her and she says, you know, I've got this enormous house. And you know, God told me recently that I should let you use it for this. As soon as my son comes home, I believe it was her son, within a week or two, her son does come home. And she takes her to this house, takes Corey to it. And she says, here it is. And look at all the flowers. And she begins to describe the inside of it. And Corey says, oh, and does it have this and this and this and this? And the lady goes, well, yeah, have you been here before? No, it's hard to explain. And she says, oh, so you know someone who's been here before? Corey says, yeah, let's put it that way. And so they get free use. She gets free use of this home. She moves in there. And they start welcoming all of these people. And so she talks about how God uses that place as a place of healing. Then later, there's another group that she feels like she should go and minister to. But they were extremely poor. They had nothing. They were in really rough times. And so she said, I didn't feel like I could speak to these people without actually living among them. So she goes in and starts living with them in the very difficult circumstances that they're in. And while she's there, someone says, hey, we would like to set up a camp for healing for Germans. And it's actually a previous prison camp. Corey's like, he's trying to explain to them, you know, I'm not trained for this. And then when she found out it was a prison camp, because of some of Betsy's vision, she traveled there with them. And so he showed her through it. And she immediately goes, okay, going to be flowers in every window. Barbed wire's got to come down. We got to paint all of these beautiful colors in here. And God uses this woman to just explain him and bring him into the lives of so many hurting people who came into that camp. So I feel like I don't know if I've done a very adequate job of describing their journey. Read the book, because she does a great job. But I just think it's amazing. I want to read these couple of verses again in Isaiah 43. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Please pray together with me. God in heaven, we just bow our hearts before you today and thank you for these words, Lord. Thank you that you spoke them, the Creator, the one who made us. You said, do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God, you spoke those words, I believe, to me, to every single person that you have called, to each person who has put their faith in you as their Lord and Savior. How we thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Now, Lord, we trust you for this. Lord, we don't know what our future holds, but God, we thank you that you're going to be with us in it. And God, we just pray together this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit in a powerful, mighty way. Lord, use us in these days as your spokesmen and women. as your representatives. Lord, just like Betsy and Corey pulled out their Bible and shared with anyone who would listen, use us, Lord. Send out laborers into your harvest. Send out healers and communicators. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being yours and being called by your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.